Lord, teach us to love. And I wish and pray that we all could just catch the heart of Jesus, if you will. Because I think love is not something that we can learn in a classroom or even just from listening about teachings on love. I think when we follow Jesus and we strive to become more like him, we realize that he was and remains the ideal example of what a life of true love is and looks like. Is there room for us to grow in love to Jesus? I'm sure there is. Do we embrace his love and make it our own? Or would we prefer to focus on other things? What I realized over the years, and especially in this series, that holiness is very important, extremely important. Righteousness is, fasting and prayer, good deeds, doing good to others, helping our neighbors, and all the Christian disciplines, they're all good. But they are completely meaningless unless we understand and begin to implement the principles of God's greatest commandment to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. Paul exclaims in 1 Corinthians 13, he says, the greatest of these is holiness, truth. He says, love. Because without love, truth becomes harsh. Without love, holiness is so rigid, and it becomes mechanical. It becomes artificial. But if we have love, it all becomes meaningful. Every area of our life becomes an area of purpose and meaning. And here's one area that I still need to cover, and that is what Jesus says here. If you love me, keep my commandments. He had just told his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. And he assured his disciples and us with that if we love God, if we obey his commands, Jesus' commands. And here's always this confusion. People say, well, if Jesus says we need to obey his commands, then we need to go back to the Old Testament and keep all the Old Testament commands. No. The Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We obey Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we're disobedient to the Old Testament. It means that when we follow Jesus, when we love him and we obey him, that we then keep all the Old Testament commandments automatically with that. We don't have to worry about the rest of it. So to prove our love for the Lord, we must show obedience. Obedience springs from a love relationship with him. We're not obeying Christ because we're scared that he will punish us. We're not obeying Christ because we fear the wrath of God. I think some people should fear the wrath of God because there is such a thing. But as children of God, Jesus wants us to love him like a friend. A friend, a true friend, is not forced to love his or her friend. You do it from the heart. And that's the type of love he wants us to have. So he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command you. Genuine Christ-like love is not natural. We must first seek a relationship of trust with Jesus to receive Christ-like love. That means that you and I are challenged to trust Jesus completely. And hear me clearly this morning. If you don't trust Jesus completely, you will have a hard time obeying him. And therefore, if you don't trust Jesus and if you have a hard time obeying him, you cannot really love him the way that you should. So all of these go hand in hand. So Jesus says, if you strive for a relationship of love in trusting me and obeying what I tell you, I will give you a promise. And this is the wonderful promise that Jesus is offering us today freely, the same as in the disciples' time. That was the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, that will give us, he will transmit to us what Jesus has in his heart. The love of the Father was always the greatest thing that Jesus has in his heart. He will transfer that love to us. But it doesn't happen automatically. You and I are not automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. Never even think that. There is a requirement. And the requirement is based on a real, vital relationship with Jesus Christ in that we obey him. If we obey him and do what he commands, he will then reward us with the Spirit of Truth to fill us with the Holy Spirit. So the gift of love comes through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus said the world does not know the Holy Spirit. They cannot know him because they're separated from God through their sins. Their sins and their disobedience constantly separates them and keeps them separate from God. So they cannot understand the Holy Spirit. They cannot even perceive what the Holy Spirit is trying to minister to them. But obedient love, and I would like to call it that, and that's true discipleship. Obedient love is contagious, and it blesses others. We can love others in obedience to Jesus' command. We can, this Christ-like love can spread and is shared between Jesus, his Father, and his followers, his church, and then goes on to those around us. In verse 23 here, he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them. Some translations say him, but it just simply means those that obey him. And we will come to them. Listen to this. We will come to them and make our home, abode, our home, our sanctuary. What does Jesus refer to? What does he mean by we will come to them and make our home with them? He's talking about himself and his Father. Did you hear that? The Father and the Son wants to live in our hearts, in our lives, if we obey his teaching. What a reward. He guarantees with that the presence of God all the days of our lives, even to the end of the age. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say, the Father and I will come and we will visit this person. We'll pay him a visit. We'll knock on the door and you open and we'll visit for a while. And we would say, have coffee or whatever, and then we'll leave again. No, we will come and make our home in the heart that obeys the teachings of Jesus Christ. How much more spiritual can you get than to have the Father and the Son live in your heart through the Holy Spirit? That is what true love looks like. Anyone, he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. So if we obey the teaching of Christ, we say yes, Lord, to everything he wants from us, then we can live in a world that is hostile. We can live in a world that is bent to go to hell. We can live in a world with God's peace in our hearts. And we can keep on loving even when others stop doing so. What a privilege to know and experience the peace of heaven on this earth. Jesus told us to, this is another promise he gave in verse 27, the same chapter. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace, says Jesus, I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. In other words, I will not disappoint you." And then he adds this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And I have to preach this to myself so many times. Why is my heart so troubled? Why am I afraid of things that could come? He said, "I give you my peace, my shalom. My shalom is better than the world." The world talks about making peace. The world thinks that the absence of war is peace. But his peace is so much deeper. It's so much greater. This is the reward that Jesus gives those who love him and obey his commands. Love, obedience, and fellowship with Jesus and our Heavenly Father, along with peace from heaven, go together as a package for successful and joyful living in a sinful and evil world. And yes, you and I can live in victory. You and I don't have to live a defeated life. We don't have to go home every day and think, "Oh, I'm so defeated, I'm so down." No. God has a promise. If you love me, obey my commands, and I will give you the Holy Spirit. I will give you the peace that surpasses all human understanding. What evidence do you have in your life that the Holy Spirit is present and is at work in your life? Can you share with a friend the evidence of the peace that Jesus offers to those who love him and obey his commands? Can a person have peace if he does not or she does not love as Christ commands? And I think this is where we disturb our peace, when we waver in our faith, when we waver in our trust to Jesus, and we focus on things that can be seen, only seen, but not on the things that cannot be seen, as Paul refers to. The second part of this message, I would like to just encourage us to persevere in love. And Jesus gives us instruction too in the next chapter of John, in chapter 15. I want to refer to this several times. For example, in verse 9 through 12 in John chapter 15, "As the Father has loved me." Can you imagine? "As the Father has loved the Son, so have I loved you. Now," he says, "remain in my love. Abide in my love." Abide is a very rich word. Abide simply means that we are faithful in Jesus Christ and his love. We're totally focused on Jesus and his love that he has. And then he says again, this is in the next chapter, not 14, but John 15. If you keep my commands, you will abide or remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. In other words, you and I cannot persevere unless we abide in Jesus Christ. How do we do that? I will refer to that in a moment. And then Jesus goes on to say, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Complete. There's nothing lacking. Complete is also pure. That is not a fake joy. It's not merely happiness, which is dependent on what's happening around us, but is a joy that comes from our innermost relationship with Jesus Christ. So then he says, and my command is this. You would think this is really profound now. Look what he's saying here. Now he says, my command, if you keep my command, you will have all this. You will have peace. You will have joy. You will have the Holy Spirit. And then he says, if you remain in my love, if you abide in my love, as I abide in the Father's love, then my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Wow. That's it. That's his command. That's God's church, where the love of God permeates everything. And that's my prayer for myself and for all of us. Jesus was a master at using simple illustrations, and he has a very profound illustration here in John chapter 15. For example, he says that to abide in Christ, we need to daily choose to be in him. And he compares the church, God's people, with a vine and the husbandman, the owner of the vineyard. I am the vine, he says, you are the branches. If you remain, abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. That's what happens when we get slack and lukewarm. When we fall away from Christ, we wither. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Repeatedly, Jesus said, if you remain in me, if you abide in me, just do it already. Remain in me. Be faithful in your relationship with Jesus Christ, meaning that you and I need to pray every day and every day make sure that we are connected to God and with God, that we talk with God, that we talk to him, that we not screaming at him, but that we bring him praise and honor, that we worship him in spirit and in truth, that we come before him as humble as we know how every single day and ask God to be with us and ask God to show us how to live for him and what he would have us do. Because everything we do needs to be born out of our prayer to God and our relationship out of Jesus Christ. He repeats this teaching in verses 9 through 12 repeatedly. Now remain in my love. If you keep my command, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And this is my command, that you love one another. The all-important message is repeated 4 times. Remain in me. Remain in my love. So to keep loving as Jesus loves, we must remain in Jesus. And all you and I need to focus on, to please Jesus, to do as he wants us to do. We cannot do it on our own. You can try, but you'll utterly fail. You'll be so disappointed if you do it on your own. You need to ask the Lord to help you through the Holy Spirit to remain in him. And if you have backslidden lately, if you have become lukewarm, if you have just become careless in your relationship with Jesus, go to the Lord in prayer today and say, Lord, I want to renew my relationship to you. There is no shame in it whatsoever. That's a privilege. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, you have become lukewarm, how come I can't communicate with you as I want to, and don't leave me. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to leave him. Jesus doesn't want us to leave him. It hurts him when we turn our backs on him. It hurts him when we become just callous and or so casual in our relationship with the Lord. It really hurts the Lord. So we don't want to hurt him, so we want to abide in him. Not out of fear, not out of a must, but in a way it is a must because we know how precious that love of God is. I want to read out of 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 6, and then conclude this message. 1 John 2, verse 3 through 6. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. And it seems that John picked up exactly where Jesus left off. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. For if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. As you reflect on your life, and we all do, would you say that you have chosen to remain in Jesus daily? How difficult has it been for you to love others, and why has it been so? Why do you think Jesus repeated this message, abide in me, over and over? That means it's very important to him. Let that be important to us as well. God bless you. Amen.